Nous allons maintenant inviter deux membres de la Coalition verte, M. Avram David Stern et M. David Fletcher, FAC. Alors, rebonsoir, M. Stern, et bonsoir, bonsoir, M. Fletcher.
Bonsoir.
À vous la parole.
Je suis le premier et après moi, David. First and foremost, before the Turcot is rebuilt, we need to put in place alternatives, transit alternatives, because you can't ask the public to use something that doesn't exist. And here are a few issues that we cover in our brief. Number one, the need to establish or reestablish communities where most daily activities and amenities are within walking or biking distance. And Dave will go into that a lot further. Number two, the fragile nature of the just-in-time delivery method and the fact that all kinds of different exigencies can happen in terms of natural disasters or man-made disasters like war, which could impinge upon this delivery method, which the highway does encourage. Number three, the need for reverse commuting on commuter rail. Number four, both the West End, meaning NDG, Montreal West, Côte-Saint-Loup, etc., and the Southwest boroughs, should be served by convenient electric rail services. Number five, we have to realize the interconnectivity of the Turcot project with other pending issues, projects that flank the southern portion of the island of Montreal, including the Glen hospital site, the Dorval Circle, etc., etc., as I went into my paper and will not mention at the moment. Number six, the need to divert freight to more efficient railways. Now, there was mention made with regards to railways here, and mainly it was news, including myself, with regards to noise and what have you. But if you compare rail, and including freight rail, to highway transport, rail always beats highway transport in terms of environmental energy efficiency standards. So therefore, what I would expect from the NTQ and what I would request is that they investigate such systems that exist in other countries, such as the Swiss Transalpine Express rolling highway system, that diverts all freight transport from highways to railways through the Alps to southern Europe. Now, the EU was very much opposed to this. And they said, well, this is going to impinge upon our economy. And believe it or not, the very conservative canton of Switzerland voted in their constitution and said and persisted that rail should be the answer, and rail will be much more efficient, and they have been successful. Number seven, the MTQ should not approach biking as an afterthought or fig leaf. Certainly, in the maps presented, bicycle paths now are included, but they're still handled as a recreational tool versus a utilitarian tool. And I would strongly suggest that biking is as much as a form of transport, a legitimate form of transport, as cars or trains or trucks or buses, etc., and definitely much more efficient and energy efficient. And what I suggest in my paper is this. Yes, there are links on the side, but where is the link in the center? Where is the link from Cavendish to the southwest? Where is the link from Cavendish to the LaSalle Loop to Irwin? There is no link like that. If the bikes are diverted, that is ridiculous. If you want to encourage alternates, including one of the most efficient forms of transport, you have to build an overpass over the central part of the Turcot. Number eight, a tram train for the southwest, an electric tram train. And here comes in a book called The River Line, which I would like to present to you, to the commission. And this book deals with the development of have a light rail line. It is not electrified, so it could be electrified in the future. Diesel operated, produced by a local company, Bombardier, and I'm not a shareholder of Bombardier, but I'm just suggesting here, why is it that Bombardier produces all kinds of nice things for other countries, and when it comes to Montreal, there's hardly any Bombardier projects except for the Metro, the first incarnation of the Metro. But why can't we use such a great company like Bombardier or any other competitor and introduce a tram train into the Southwest, which would encourage transit-oriented development? It has in the South Jersey area, right near Philadelphia, along the Delaware River. And it's very interesting, as a side note, that there is this historic building called the RCA Building in St. Henry's, and there is one as well here in South Jersey. So there is an interconnectivity there. One further point, I've included in the Green Coalition brief a graphic art piece that was created by my sister Adele, who is a professor of graphic design at the Borough of Manhattan Community College. I had a share in this production, and this work details the issues of the coming food shortage and how it is interwoven with development policies and transport issues. It will be exhibited this summer in Governor's Island, New York, in a Sustainable Cities exposition sponsored by Hunter College. Now, Dave will examine this issue of food shortages and local communities. Dave?
Just as a starting point, by the way, I'd like to say Bill Clinton, back in the 1990s, when his election campaign said, it's all about the economy, stupid, and that's what he based his campaign on. And what I'd like to do in reply to that, because it's something that's been repeated by many politicians in Canada and Europe as well, including our own present premier, is that it's all about the quality of life, stupid. It's all about people. It's all about people in communities. And those people being happy and getting something out of their lives. And collectively, us having a sense that our lives are worthwhile living. We have a need to get rid of carbon in our paradigm. We all recognize this. Number one, we have to because it's running out. But more than that, it's destroying our atmosphere, creating climate change, and that's destroying our biodiversity on the planet. And we have two conventions right now that the United Nations is working on to try and mitigate the effects on the atmosphere and on biodiversity from our practices. The province of Quebec has 37%, according to statistics out of Statistics Canada, 37% of its gaseous emissions, greenhouse gas emissions, coming out of the transport sector, and that reflects, of course, Canada has 26%, according to the statistics I had, and that reflects the use of electricity for a lot of industrial processes in Quebec. But it's still a high figure, and it means that we need to look at the transport section to reduce a lot of those emissions. We're looking, United Nations is projecting that by the mid part of this century, we're going to be in severe straits. You know, the next generation is looking at a very brutish and poor existence relative to what we've got right now. And this is because, according to the World Wildlife Fund, and according to a group called Redefining Progress that have done ecological footprint analysis, they've created the techniques for analyzing this, we're now in 25% overshoot as of the last report of the World Wildlife Fund. That means that for every hectare that's available, humanity is now using 1.25 hectares. It means we've got to cut back on what we do. We've got to make sure that we make communities that 40 years from now are not going to have to be redone because they were mistakes made to correct mistakes that were made 40 years back. What we're here today to discuss is changing something that was done 40 years ago that was an egregious mistake. We do not need in 40 years to be looking back and saying we made another egregious mistake serving cars and that will need to be redone. We won't have the opportunity before that 40 years for economic reasons to correct the mistake. We're going to be stuck with it. So we've got to get it right first time round. UN projections, as I said, are pretty bad. Right now, you know, biodiversity-wise, The time that this these hearings are going on, is one species per 18 minutes is being lost. A large part of that has to do with climate change, but there are other factors as well. And that means that by the time we leave this room, 10 species will have winked out on planet Earth since we began. There are a number of things that we need to look at. We need to be moving back to more local provenance of services and goods. The old model that we've got that was energy intensive is energy intensive. This globalized model of bringing food from the far corners of the world, transporting people and other goods around the world, getting all of our goods out of China, transported at high cost. All of that is something that is a pipe dream now. That's not going to last. It can't last. The cost of energy and the cost of our atmosphere aren't going to allow it. So we have to look to be moving more locally in the way we do things. And I would suggest to you that we already have models in Montreal, very good models of communities where people do not need to use transport. My own two children are cases in point. I moved to the West Island in the 1960s, a suburb. When my children grew up and they decided they were going to move out, they moved back into the plateau. And I'll tell you why. There's life there. There's life there. The communities that are being built around Montreal, according to James Howard Kunstler, are communities that are not worth defending. And my children would speak to you, if they were here today to speak to you about that, they would say that's the case. And the people that are coming in from those communities to work in Montreal and to get their needs met in Montreal are coming from some of those dead communities, those desert communities out in Saint-Lazare off the west end of the island, and they're coming down through the Turcotte interchange. Along with trucks, by the way, the warehouses on wheels that come down from the east and the west through that interchange. We need to be creating communities where people on Shank's mare, on their two legs, metabolic energy, the energy of the muscles. It shouldn't be determined in times of size or radius, because people, by the way, doing that commuting, coming out from Lesedre or Saint-Lazare or Rigo, are passing through the intervening space between where they've left and where they're going to without establishing any connection with it, without caring anything at all about the life in those communities, without caring at all about the impact they have on those communities. There's absolutely no reason why, if we made communities in the center of Montreal that were more benign and more enjoyable, quieter, without the roar of traffic, without the smell of the emissions, people would want to come back to the center of the city. Just as my children did in the plateau, where there's a quality of life, and where you can get everything you need within a 15-minute walk of where you live, instead of having to get in a car and drive 4 or 5 miles or further to pick up a packet of screws, like you have to do with the big box stores. We need to rechange. We need to rethink. And we have an opportunity at Turcotte to do that now. We have to be thinking not about what is needed in the next 5 years or the next 10 years. We have to be thinking about what will be needed, truly needed, not just wanted, but needed, 50 years from now, when the United Nations projections are for a very brutish existence for that next generation. So I'm saying to you, we need to look at that Turcotte interchange. We need to make that a community like we'd have in the plateau, where there's a reason to live there and a reason to stay there, and where there's an attraction for those very people who are out in St. Lazare to move back into a community like that. That's what I'm saying to you. I'm not going to give you the statistics. That's in the report. We're talking now about food. Food and water, particularly, are major problems on the planet. We're gobbling up agricultural land around Montreal at a rapid pace. On Montreal Island, there is projected a number of developments that are going to gobble up prime agricultural land. I know of places off-island where that's happening, and I know the provincial government now is trying to relax the restrictions on development of agricultural land. Food, we're going to need to be bringing that from close to home, just like we did in the 19th century. We're not, it's not back to the future, it's forward to the past. because we have to get back to where we were before, where we're not so greedy about the use of energy, and where we don't, as Bill Clinton also said, you know, he did it because he could, in reference to his little peccadillo with Madame Lewinsky. He had the power to do it, so he did it. We can't be doing the same thing now, saying that we can use that gasoline and we can use these opportunities because we have the power to do it. We have the power to make another change. And it's going to be the change that's going to be needed mid-century. So you need to rethink. Don't make a mistake like a mistake was made 40 years ago that now we're in the process of trying to correct. Don't make another one. Do the right thing. Listen to the people here. They're talking about community development. And that's where I'll leave it. Thank you.
S'il vous plaît, collaboration. So we thank you for your brief.
J'aurais une question. Dans votre mémoire, vous parlez d'un Todd. J'imagine que c'est dans la cour Turcot quelque part. Est-ce que vous pourriez préciser qu'est-ce que c'est que...
Well, similarly to what was presented by Lazenita Medderbrook and presented by Patrick Ash, that Todd would be in part of the brownfield that is now the former Turcotte Yard.
Okay, so we will await.
Yes. Plus the fact I would like to donate this to the Bath, and I don't know how this will be done.
Et une deuxième question.
Yeah.
Est-ce que la mise en place de ces propositions-là ferait en sorte qu'on retarderait, selon vous, la réfection de Turcot? Et comment est-ce que à ce moment-là, vous verriez la planification?
Yeah. Well, in terms of providing good transit, rail transit can be built within a matter of months if there is a will. It doesn't have to take years. I mean, certainly there'll probably be another or another type of hearing. Nevertheless, there is the logic that indicates that if governments want people to use transit, it has to be there. It cannot be that Dave Fletcher has to look at his calendar and has to look at his watch, has to look at the timetable and says, if I don't make this train in 10 minutes, then I have to wait till about
2 or 3 minutes
before 12, 2 or 3 minutes before witching hour to catch the last train out to Roxborough. That is ridiculous.
And I came here today on principle, as I do whenever I come downtown, meetings like this, by public transit.
So what I would suggest is that we first build the transit and then consider the Turcotte. And if there'll be a highway, if the MTQ insists on a highway, let there be a highway. But we will suggest that perhaps no highway is necessary.
But, I must point out that a new rail transit built within a new right-of-way is submitted to an environmental assessment, so it may take more than 8 months or 1 year to build.
Yes. I recognize that. However, what we suggest is use the existing rights of way. There are existing rights of way. There's like the Transport 2000 said, and certainly we said, there's the Westmount subdivision. In the heyday there were 90 trains, passenger trains, let alone there were other freight trains that passed through Montreal West, Vendôme, etc. If you improve the Rigaud-Dorion commuter line, and make it so that people don't have to consult the schedule, thousands of commuters would opt for an improved train service, and therefore you would reduce the number of cars through the Turcotte, especially during the time of reconstruction.